You're listening to another episode of
Turtle Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, there we go. Total Talk Nonsense with John Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 120.
Episode 120, John. That was our third attempt.
No, it's starting. The first one was levels. Second one, I forgot to press the depress the mute button.
Depress the mute button, but we're all good to go now.
I didn't want to hear any of your masturbation going on over there.
And I am back in the studio, John.
Yes.
Back in the home studio. And we got to apologize for that last episode.
Why? What happened?
What, that's cutting out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just
horrible.
It's horrible.
Horrible.
I think it's okay if you speed it up a little bit. Like if you use the Microsoft Windows player.
Yeah.
And then you notch it up a couple
yeah.
of.
Yeah. I should have done that.
Then the pause is really, you can't really tell. Except when you say, what? You cut out. What did you say?
It sounds funnier when we speed up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. We have better timing.
Timing. No doubt, Scott. No doubt.
All right, John, we got some big news right off the bat.
Right from the bat.
The bat. The great Stephen Hawking. He's been on our show before, and I wish I knew what episode he was on, but I can't remember. But Stephen Hawking is
going
to be on the show next
week.
Nice. I was thinking, you know, since he called us and left a voicemail, which I forgot to bring in as well, maybe we should rev up the time machine for when he's
here.
Yeah.
Bring him with us. Get his wheelchair in the car,
right,
in the vehicle.
Because the last time he was in was a while ago, and then since then he's been in zero gravity. So I think...
what do you mean?
I don't know. I think he went up in a plane and they did a nosedive.
Yeah, they was floating his like lifeless body around.
Right.
The only thing that works is his brain and his eyes.
So he's a big fan of the show. We'll get him in here next week and we'll take him in the time machine.
No doubt.
We just got to decide where to go. You know, what destination? What do you think of Stephen Hawking? Where do you think he'd want to go back in time?
I don't know.
You think he'd want to go fuck with Albert Einstein when he was like 16 or something?
Yeah.
Or maybe go back to Newton.
What are you doing, you loser?
Have a scribble in his notebook. Oh, you know, there's a good idea, John. You know, talking about marketing. Marketing TTN.
Right.
How about we go back to when Newton published his magnum opus. Which I can't remember the name.
But, magnum opus.
But right before he sends it to the publisher, we scribble in there, John and Scott, TTN.
Right.
In the side note. And they'll, for 200 years.
Dedicated to John and Scott.
Yeah, they'll be like, what does this mean? What does this mean? Talk about marketing.
No doubt, Scott. Marketing.
No doubt.
Yeah, that'd be some, Vopi, take that.
Yeah.
We know how to market a podcast.
So we'll have to figure out where we're going to go in the time machine and bring a Stephen Hawking with. But he's excited. He's, for reasons unknown, he cannot join the forum. I don't know why. But he is he does read the forum.
He?
I don't know. Something about, you know, he communicates by blinking his eyes, and I don't know if he can blink his eyes and created a user account. Maybe we can create
maybe
that for
so,
him.
Maybe so, yeah.
I don't know. But
we'll give him a call. Drop him a line. See if he...
He is a guest on the forum, and he reads a lot of the posts, and he was very, very excited about the exchange that I had with Andrew from the UK concerning physics and string theory specifically. And he had a couple of things he wants to say about string theory when he comes in.
Yeah.
So
sure,
always exciting to have Stephen Hawking in the studio.
I can't wait till you actually go on a forum with real physicists and challenge them instead of picking on all our listeners.
What do you mean picking on? I didn't start that.
Yeah. Listen to you, you big sensitive baby.
I ain't no sensitive baby.
You are, man.
I'm not.
Stop being such a pussy.
Speaking of the forum, we have a new forum, John.
Yes.
And
it's very clean.
If you had posted
it's very clean.
In the old forum, your Stop user whining. Account should still be available. But a couple of people have been creating new user accounts. I don't know why. So I need to reach out and get in touch with them and see why that's happening.
What?
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 So go and check out the new forum. In episode 121, look forward to Stephen Hawking.
Hawking.
Now, John, right before I came over, actually, on the
I
way.
I want to hear Stephen Hawking say, you talk too much.
You talk too much.
You talk too much.
Right before I came over, I've been out of town. I blew back into
you
town
blew.
Today, John.
You blew back.
Tuned into the mediocre show. I don't even know what the hell episode they're on, but it was recorded last Wednesday. And Matt went out to New York, and he goes to try out for American Gladiators. Is that correct? With Hulk
what?
Hogan? Is that the correct name, American Gladiators?
Yeah. All right. Are you serious?
So he goes with his sister and his woman, and they go to New York, and he went with somebody else. And they had to stand in line for like seven, or the whole ordeal took 17 hours to try out for American Gladiator. Right?
Oh.
So he's telling that experience. He's talking about that experience. And then Eric is like, well, is it a good show? I mean, should I tune in? You know, I try to tune in and I see Hulk Hogan. I'm not interested. And then Matt says, oh, no, you got to check it out. You got to check it out. Now, go ahead and play this clip. And now, before you do, though, John, he gives his reason why we should check out American Gladiator. Now, I've talked before about Spike of Spike and Rachel and how he's like a soul brother to me.
Right.
And Matt, same way. I feel the same way with Matt, soul brother. This is a guy who does triathlons, does marathons. He was in a band, drummer in a band, John.
Yeah.
A lot in common.
Except for the drummer. What band were you ever in as a drummer?
Hey, I subbed. Sometimes when our drummer wouldn't show up, I played drums. Okay,
your own band,
right?
So you didn't play. Who played guitar?
Brian.
Oh.
All right. So he's talking about American Gladiator, and this threw me a little bit. It just threw me a little bit. You know, put a chink in the old the Matt Brotherhood
thing.
Put
a little Chinese guy.
Go ahead
in
and
the Matt Brotherhood.
So he's telling why we have to tune in to American Gladiator.
All right.
In this clip.
All right. Should I play it right
this
now?
This is Eric starting, and then Matt
when,
will
when
tell.
When should I play it?
Play it right now.
All right.
I had it's no great. Idea. I mean, I flipped by it one, and I guess it was Sunday. Whatever day it's on, I'm flipping by channels, and I just see Hulk Hogan, like, talking to some dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't
yeah.
do
no,
it.
No, dude, do it up. Do it up.
Really?
Yeah. If nothing else, because they have, I'm pretty sure that half of the women on the show have cocks.
Okay, so.
That's why you got to watch it.
Is that why you got to watch it? I don't know. Do you want to see women on the show?
I think he just misspoke. Maybe he was.
Do they have cocks?
Talking about, you know, that line and what's that? Clerks. Or the guys, chicks with dicks, man. You got to look at it.
Well, no, you don't.
No.
Really?
No, I don't know. I'm
tune
just,
into the show because the women have cocks?
I don't know.
What?
I just don't get that.
I don't know.
What?
Starting to question my infatuation with Matt after a statement like that. Oh, and I apologize for the audio. The mediocre show sounds much better than that.
Yeah, what is that, man?
It's me. I don't know what the hell's going on.
What are you doing?
I click on Audacity. Audacity comes up.
Yeah.
And I hit record. It sounds like shit.
What do you mean you just hit record?
I just hit record. I get to the part I want to record, and I hit record. And then I stop it, and then I name it, and
are
I give
you,
it to
are you.
Are
you running your iPod through your board?
I did not have my iPod plugged in at the time. That was off of iTunes, though. I was playing off of iTunes. I don't know what happens. But the show sounds much better than that. All
yeah,
right?
Way better.
Yeah, so I only got through like 10 minutes this week, and talking about women with cocks. And that's the reason you should watch. Now, I remember watching the show, the original version. I could only watch 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing last Monday. I think it was Monday.
Is this something you'd recommend?
I don't know, man. It's really screwy. You get into it. Like, I got into it because of this little twerpy wrestling guy who became a teacher. He schooled these big, dopey gladiators. And then this chick, I don't know if she was Mexican or half or something, half and half. Her name is Monica. Pretty hot, slender, very athletic. She
cock?
No. Well, what he's talking about is the chick gladiators that look like dudes, like Helga. I mean, they got they're pumped with testosterone, man. They got huge muscles. They got faces
yeah,
like
that's
men.
Roids. That's roids. Yeah. And human growth hormone,
right.
John.
So, the Monica chick, she was like something else. They have this one game. I'm sure you remember it. There's five, like, they look like garbage cans on like a Weeble Wobbles.
Oh, yeah, and you got to run
through. You got to run and dump a ball in there.
Sure.
And this chick is doing like these football spin moves and totally juking the shit out of these gladiator chicks in G-strings. And my daughter was just all over. She's like, oh, yeah, I want her to win so bad. And she was as strong as them. But on the guys, the little skinny guy, the little tiny wrestling guy was going against this other dude, this Jesus freak. Now, I wish I had audio of it because he kept, you know, thanking the Lord and everything. He was like some sort of a preacher. So it was preacher against the teacher.
Whoa.
And the preacher just kicked ass. He had like 29 points to this teacher, his 3 or something. So basically at the end, you have the eliminator that they pair them against each other. And the preacher got like a 10-second head start or something. And then the other guy had to catch up. Well, he caught up and he won. So all the work that the preacher did to get to the extra seconds didn't do shit. He lost the whole thing. So the guy, the little dude, goes on to the next thing. But they have like the gauntlet. Do you remember that? Where you run down the middle of this tube and there's 4 gladiators and 2 of them have like a big giant padded tube that goes across the whole thing that they hold. And two other ones have these big square cubicle shaped like boxing gloves that are about, I don't know, 3 feet by 3 feet, and they punch you in the face and they start wailing on you as you try to get through to the other side.
I don't remember that. All
it's,
I remember
it's
is
stupid,
the,
but
is
it's
the garbage can one and the thing where they'd have the stick with the 2 big pillows,
yeah,
and they'd
yeah.
pound
the
each other.
The big Q-tips.
Yeah, the Q-tips.
They still have that. Big giant Q-tips.
And Mike Adamley used to be the host,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping he'd break his leg. Not Adamley. Not Mike. Are you sure it was Adamley? I thought it was.
I am not.
I thought it was the Heisman or what's his fucking
Joe
name?
Joe Theismann?
Theismann.
Joe Theismann.
Well, I heard him tell a story that his name wasn't Theismann. It was something else. It's like Theismann or something. And they told him to change it to Theismann and pronounce it that way because it sounds closer to Heisman Trophy.
I see.
And he was up for one that year. And if you associate it that way, it kind of puts things in people's minds so that he'd get the vote.
Did he?
No. He did not get it. Heisman or Heisman. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's still the same thing. But what's funny is you got Hulk Hogan interviews the guys and then Muhammad Ali's daughter, what's her name?
Layla.
Layla, she does the chicks. She's pretty funny. Like, she does both, the chicks and the guys. She'll interview the guys, too, because the guys will come up and, like, try to stare down one of these pipsqueaks that goes up against them. I mean, you know, a lot of it, like for the shorter guys, when they do that Q-tip thing, they can get real low, whereas these big dudes, man, they have such...
Top heavy.
They're top heavy, and they have such a... they have to stand so wide to keep their center of gravity. So on that platform, you knock them asunder one way or the other, and they're going to misstep and just fall right off of that freaking little tabletop that they got to stand on. But yeah, it's kind of funny. But what I hate is the fucking commercials, man. Every freaking minute, there's, you know, they'll show something, and then there's a goddamn commercial. It's so goddamn annoying.
That is annoying. I was trying to watch Rocky IV on some television station out of New York, and it was watch movies with Yogi.
Oh.
The catcher, Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
So not only they only show 5 minutes of the movie, 5 minutes of commercials, now you get to watch Yogi talk for 2 minutes about the movie.
Destroy the English language.
And then see 5 minutes of the movie again. So it's like 7 minutes of shit and 5 minutes of the movie. Piss me off. I don't know how they get away with that. Who watches that? I guess I did.
Yeah, Yogi Berra is like famous for saying stuff like, the key to winning is to get more points than the other team.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he a Hall of Famer? Right. He was on the Yankees,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I need to see him now? It's some guys in a, they're like in a movie theater,
you know,
and some guys sitting next to him.
You know, I was thinking about this today, how negative you are.
I'm not. I'm so positive.
Hey, we're going to the studio. Ugh.
I don't like going to the studio.
Do I? Ugh.
I don't like going.
Hey, we got practice. Oh, okay. Hey, I got to apologize, man. I didn't practice.
I didn't have time to practice. I told you I didn't have time to practice. Yeah, I didn't get to the Hannah Montana song and the Jonas Brothers. Sorry.
Whoa, man. Jesus. This is what I'm talking about, man, right there.
Yeah, talking about.
Too much. It's just all negative. It's complaining. Hey, yeah, I can't. I might not be able to do that. You know what? Get Phil. All right. Yeah, but I get half the pay because
it's my idea.
No, because you're causing the fucking idea in the first place.
The people with the ideas get the money.
No, they don't. Not when we got to sit there and rehearse with them.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. All right, well, getting back to the mediocre show there.
Anyways, you don't have to worry about it unless the 11th of July and the 1st of August are on your list.
No, that's good for me. That's the dates?
That's where we're at.
So which one is Party in the Park?
July 11th is Party in the Patio. We're doing it reverse this time.
Party on the Patio.
Party on the Patio is July 1st at Arlington Park. And Party in the Park...
Wait a minute,
August
wait a minute.
1st.
July 11th.
July, what did I say?
July 1st.
Sorry, July
11th.
July 11th.
It's a Friday, right?
Yeah, they're all Fridays, you dope.
So, Party in the Patio starts at what? After the last race.
Yeah.
Like 7 o'clock on July 11th. We'll update the website with these very important gig notices there, Johnny.
Yeah, and of course, Scott will probably have it off by a day.
August 1st, Party in the Park. That's when we play in between races.
Right.
Right off the side of the grandstand.
Right.
Well, that's out of sight.
And the Beacon
man.
Tap on March 22nd.
March
for the big
22nd.
Easter weekend.
Beacon Tap. That's a Saturday, John.
Yeah. Saturday.
The schedule's starting to fill up. The
yes.
summer schedule.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you know what I was thinking?
I could fill it way up, but you are just way too unpredictable, man.
I'm not.
You got way too many weekends off this summer.
But I know what they are right now. So let's, if you can fill them up, let's fill them up now.
I can, man.
Let's do it.
Are you sure?
You know, I drove by Great America today.
Yeah, and thought, boy, we could play there.
Yeah, I thought so.
You know
because,
what?
Because they said accepting auditions
nice.
For the summer.
I don't mean to derail this whole thing, but my wife said yesterday she went to Jewel and there was a band playing in Jewel.
Which Jewel?
The one over here, man. Right by
in DP. Yeah. What kind of a band? Like an acoustic?
Like JP and the Ramblers.
Get out of here.
I'm serious. Full drums and everything.
At Jewel?
At Jewel for their grand reopening.
Wow.
Yeah, kids met Dan Hampton a couple of weeks ago.
How do you get a gig like that?
I don't know.
The Jewel Grand Opening.
And we're Keg Records playing the Jewel Grand Opening next week.
Put that on our resume. Yeah, we do private parties, grand openings.
Grand opening, bar mitzvahs. You name it. We'll be there. We do graduations. High school, right? Was it high school?
It was a high school, yeah. High school graduation.
It was like naked swimming, and you walk through a screen door.
I did. It just popped. The whole thing just popped right out. Pop!
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, man. Getting back to the Mediocre Show, the hoodies are in. We got to order PayPal.
They're in.
Do you have a PayPal account?
PayPal?
PayPal.
No, I have a PayPal.
Yeah. So can you order and I'll pay you back?
Oh, see, you know, this is how it goes with you, man. You know,
what?
Rick.
I'm good for
Rick
it.
Rick tapped into this the other day. Scott is a fucking genius. I said, oh, yeah, I've known that for years, man, how he gets out of shit. Yeah, did you catch how he said he apologized for not learning the songs? I almost felt bad.
I didn't have time.
The way he said it, it totally disarmed me. I couldn't come back with it. Guys, hey, I got to apologize. I did not practice at all.
I know you were really looking forward to going over the Jonas Brothers and Hannah Montana. I didn't get a chance.
It's not the Jonas Brothers. It's a redone version of an old 80s song.
Well, it's their arrangement.
And Hannah Montana, we've been working on since we were in the fucking studio. So shut up. I didn't have time to go over it the last year and a half.
Yeah. All right, so you order those things, right? And then I'll pay you back. I'll give you a check or something.
Hey, I got a present for you. I'm buying you a mediocre hoodie.
No, it is not. It's
on
me.
But you got to buy it.
It's on me, man. You got to buy it, and I'll pay you back.
I do everything. I get no appreciation.
Do you think we should get one for Rick? You know, because I did get him a book for Christmas, but I want to read the book.
Yeah, I remember you told me.
I don't want to give him the book.
We're giving gifts this week. I got them. I'll bring them next time.
Oh, I still have your book. I have one more gift for you.
Oh,
but I want to read these books before I give them to you. But that would be kind of lame, I guess. Wouldn't it?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
I'm still reading the Christopher Hitchens one. And I've tapped back into the Bill Bryson or Bill, the one you gave me, history of the
short history of almost everything.
Yeah,
love that
Bill,
book.
Bill
Bryson.
Bryson, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
It's a good book, man.
All right, John.
There's just too many fucking distractions. How can you read with all the distractions?
I read at work.
Oh, yeah, that'll never happen. Yeah. Second I open a book, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Fuck. You got a sweet job, dude.
No doubt. All right, man. February 12th. February. That was 5 days ago.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was the 199th anniversary of Charles Darwin's birth. It's also the 149th anniversary of the publication of Darwin's The Origin of Species. And it's also the 199th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth. How about that, huh?
Wow.
How about that for some facts?
Wow.
I love history, John. Love it.
You do?
Especially when it deals with Darwin.
I gave you a history book.
You did.
a...
What do they call them? You read something every day?
A devotional.
A devotional.
Yeah. I just checked it out the other day, man.
Now, a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about our experience with Blockbuster and the movie Bad Lieutenant. And how we rented from... I rented it from Blockbuster. And I was like, what the... This is a piece of shit. And then we find out that it's edited. Blockbuster went ahead and edited the movie, but they don't tell anybody.
Bunch of shit.
There's a story about Family Friendly. That was the name of the company. No, that was not the name of the company. I take that back. But they promoted themselves as a family-friendly movie censors. According to Utah Daily Herald, the founder of Flicks Club, a defunct company that edited swearing and nudity from films and resold them as family-friendly versions. Well, guess what happened to that guy? The founder.
He's gay or something. What?
He's been arrested on charges that he and another man paid two 14-year-old girls for sex.
Oh, my God.
Police also said that the man may have been using the family-friendly video business as a front for producing porn.
You think?
A former employee said of Thompson, he was always talking about fighting Hollywood for the good of the children. And here he is banging them.
See, that's what people don't get through their head. Most people that really don't care about that stuff and they go on with their lives and they realize that, you know, my only little center, my surrounding area of being a parent, for instance, us being parents, we're the only ones that could make any real influence on our kids and the community, which is our friends and some of our close family members that we trust, you know. They can only influence our kids and the friends that they hang out with. You get people like this, you know there's got to be something wrong when they go way overboard. Like I went to this wine tasting thing a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I'm the fag. Yeah.
Well, I bitched about it the whole time. I'm like, ugh, can we have like a scotch tasting or bourbon tasting with cigars and men? But I don't know. Sorry.
I want to get online. I need a computer.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand.
Well, wait. Let me finish the story quick. It's real quick. So it's a wine. There's like 30 bottles of wine there. We're drinking and stuff. And there's this dude there that is way over the top. He brings a special carafe. It has a special funnel for pouring and aerating the wine. It has a special crystal ball top, and he's talking all about it. And he's the center of attention. I see him later on talking to the hostess husband, and he's saying how much... He doesn't want these fags teaching our children in schools. I don't care about blacks or Mexicans teaching my kids, but I don't want any of these homosexuals. You know what I'm saying? And the guy's like, yeah, I guess, you know. And it was clear to me this guy was not married. He didn't have any kids.
And he's running wine tasting.
Yeah, and he wasn't running it. He was a guest.
Oh, he was a guest.
But he was like Mr. Know-It-All about the wine and everything. I go, this guy is a closeted homo right now. And this is how he is acting out, trying to cover it all up by bashing the gays. You know, and this is like the same kind of example with this person you're talking about who... is on this quest to...
Protect
the children where he's covering up his sin. He feels that he needs to do this because he's such a goddamn sinner. And I don't understand what the mentality is behind that, but you hear the story all the time with the ones that are just so... They're gay bashers or they're...
The louder they yak about it, the more into their...
There's more behind the scenes. It's like... the whole Wizard of Oz thing, you know, ignore the man behind the curtain.
Oh, right, right.
And there's really just the whole time, there's this guy with the turning the wheels and stuff.
Yeah, you lost me there.
It's not magic.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
All right, get this, John.
It's all smoke and mirrors is what I'm saying.
Couple of stories out of the Middle East. Well, one's actually from Denmark. Yeah, these extreme Muslims, they're an issue.
Yeah.
Danish police said Tuesday that they have arrested three people people suspected of plotting to kill one of the 12 cartoonists behind the Prophet Muhammad drawings that sparked a deadly uproar in the Muslim world 2 years ago. As we originally reported on that, it's a goddamn cartoon.
Yeah,
I guess.
It was drawn by Muslims.
Yeah, but that's against this law, whatever this.
I know, but it was a plant. It's been proven that it's a hoax. It was a plant, and it was meant to cause this kind of upheaval. And this guy got the blame for it, and he didn't do it.
Well, whatever. I mean, it's a goddamn cartoon. It's an image of Muhammad, and these guys get their panties in a bunch about it. I just don't get it. And then now they're plotting to kill a cartoonist, John? Unbelievable to me. So what happens is, so this becomes a story. So now that this has become a story, they go ahead and print the original cartoon with Muhammad.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. What a bunch of crap.
Well, it's all, I guess, a fraud and a hoax or something.
Well, it's a fraud and a hoax, but it's still, these people are out of their goddamn minds that they're going to kill people because somebody printed a cartoon of Muhammad.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of belief system is that? We have enough problems here in the United States with some of the belief systems, and especially the ones that got the W elected.
Yeah.
But to want to kill somebody because they drew a cartoon? I guess that's what happens when you don't have free speech there, Johnny.
Yeah, that's right. And what are we going to do? We're gonna recolonize all the third world countries and change them, and as Ann Coulter said, kill them all and convert them to Christianity?
Yeah, I think they'd be much better off.
Yeah.
And this is out of Saudi Arabia. A leading human rights group appealed to Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah on Thursday to stop the execution of a woman accused of, do you know what she's accused of, John?
No.
Witchcraft and performing supernatural acts. A New York-based human rights watch said in a statement that the kingdom's religious police who arrested and interrogated Fazwa Falihi and the judges who tried her in the northern town of whatever never gave her the opportunity to prove her innocence in the face of absurd charges that have no basis in law.
Wow.
Witchcraft is considered an offense against Islam, John. In Falihi's case, the judges relied on a coerced confession and on the statements of witnesses who said she had bewitched them. The fact that Saudi judges still conduct trials for unprovable crimes like witchcraft underscores their inability to carry out objective criminal investigations, said the only guy with a goddamn brain in the Middle East, Joe Stork, director of Human Rights Watch. I mean, that is unbelievable. Yeah. Execute a woman for witchcraft?
Yeah.
What did she do? That's what I want to know. Bewitched him. What does that mean?
Bewitched.
They bewitched me. I was bewitched.
That's one big pile of shit.
That is a big pile of shit. Do you think if you tried to have reruns of Bewitched in Saudi Arabia, they would execute you?
They would execute you?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And this is who the W is in bed with, the Saudis. Guy holds hands with the King Abdullah.
Shut up!
King Abdullah.
Yeah.
Let's hold hands and get our picture taken.
And that's the truth.
Damn chimp.
Fucking chimp.
Do you have a story about heaven?
He's a chimp. I do. Christians wrong about heaven, Scott.
No way.
That's what this bishop says. Tom Wright is one of the most formidable figures in the world of Christian thought. As bishop of Durham.
Where's my bishop?
Who is a bishop at? Hell no. He is the fourth most senior cleric in the Church of England and a major player in the strife-riven global Anglican communion. Anyway, yeah. Oh, it therefore comes as a shock, as a something of a shock, that Wright doesn't believe in heaven. He doesn't, Scott. He doesn't believe in it. At least not in the way that millions of Christians understand the term. In his new book, Surprised by Hope, Wright quotes a children's book by California First Lady Maria Shriver called What's Heaven?, which describes it as a beautiful place where you can sit on soft clouds and talk. If you're good throughout your life, then you get to go there. When your life is finished here on earth, God sends angels down to take you to heaven to be with him. That, says Wright, is a good example of what not to say. The biblical truth, he continues, is very, very different. what he says is there are several important respects in which it's unsupported by the New Testament. First, the timing. In the Bible, we are told that you die and enter an intermediate state. St. Paul is very clear that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead already, but that nobody else has yet. Secondly, our physical state. The New Testament says that when Christ does return, the dead will experience a whole new life, not just our soul, but our bodies. And finally, the location. At no point do the resurrection narratives in the four Gospels say Jesus has been raised, therefore we are all going to heaven. It says that Christ is coming here to join together the heavens and the earth in an act of new creation.
Bottom line there, he's saying that nobody's in heaven now.
And nobody will go to heaven.
Because heaven will be on earth.
That's right.
And when Jesus comes back, whenever that is, not only our souls, but our bodies will be resurrected.
Right.
Oh.
It says...
I better get back in shape.
Belief in the goodness is absolutely essential to Christianity, both theologically and morally, but Greek-speaking Christians influenced by Plato saw our cosmos as shabby and misshapen, and full of lies. And the idea was not to make it right, but to escape it and leave behind our material bodies. The church, at its best, has always come back toward the Hebrew view, but there have been times when the Greek view was very influential, meaning the heaven thing was a way to influence people, to use it. Do good and you'll go to heaven. You do bad, you'll burn in the lake of fire for eternity. And that's not the case. Basically,
well, I'm glad this guy clarified the fairy tale.
Well, what he says is the New Testament really says is God wants you to be a renewed human being, helping him to renew his creation. And his resurrection was the opening bell. And when he returns to fulfill the plan, you won't be going up there to him. He'll be coming down here.
Nice.
Yeah.
I got some questions. So what body is, like, if I live to 80, I get to walk around with an 80-year-old body for eternity?
Well, that's what
eternity?
They're saying. You got to take care of your body. You hit it right on the head. He does talk about you need to take care of your body.
So live fast, die young. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, most Christians are like, we don't care about our bodies. It's about our thought and what's our heart and all these things. And he's saying, no, it's about everything. You got to be good to yourself. You got to be good in your heart, your brain. You got to be good to the planet. You got to do all these things because when the time comes, God wants you to be there to help him renew his creation. And his resurrection, God's resurrection was the opening bell, the Big Bang, if you will, Scott.
understood. But hypothetically, let's take this fairy tale and walk through it, okay? Let's say we live till 95, right? We got a walker, 95, we can't hear, our sight's not that good. And it really does happen. Jesus does come back, right? And we're resurrected. I'm 95 years old?
Well, not necessarily. I don't know. It doesn't say
how,
that exactly.
What kind of heaven is that?
I don't know.
Going to be walking around as a 95-year-old?
I'm not sure.
I'm going to have to get that
you'll
book.
You have to excise those thetans, Scott.
I would think that I would get to pick which age.
Well, this is where he kind of makes sense, and here's how the Bible could actually make sense of things, being that if you're thinking about Christianity and an all-loving God and all this and all that, and he wants not only you to do good things but to take care of yourself and take care of the world, if there is going to be an Armageddon, Wright says, and we'll all be in heaven already, are raptured up just in time. It really doesn't matter if you have acid rain, greenhouse gases, or for that matter, whether you bombed civilians in Iraq. All that really matters is saving souls for that disembodied heaven. So like what he's saying is in order for religion or this part of religion to make any sense, there has to be some physical properties to it, not just your soul. Because what's the point then? That we live on this earth and we just fuck it all up and fuck ourselves up.
I don't like it.
We don't get the message. We're not getting the message.
I don't like it.
All right,
I'm going to go with a fairy tale, I'm going to go with the soul. I'm not going to go like take poor Christopher Reeves. Right, here's an attractive, athletic, good looking man gets in a horse accident. And now he's in a wheelchair that he has to move with his mouth.
He resurrects as an invalid. Yeah,
so what, are they going to give him a wheelchair when they resurrect
well,
him?
Well, those are good questions. You'll have to ask Bishop Wright.
Ah, forget that.
Yeah,
I want to hang out with souls.
You are about exchanging ideas.
I want to hang out with souls, man. I don't want to hang out with, especially if I'm 95.
Yeah, but what if the soul you hang out with is some real asshole?
Because that, you know, the
what
one...
if Chris Rock says the Lord's Prayer right before he dies, and then you end up on the same gravy train to heaven with him?
That'll be fine. I don't care. But here's the thing.
Hey, Scotty, what's up? Look at my big black ass.
I was thinking about midlife crisis. Yeah. Why the midlife crisis? First of all, it's because...
I think you're going through one, man.
Possibly. First of all... You get to an age, especially over 40, your body just starts breaking down. There's nothing you can really do about it. I mean, sure, you can stay in shape, but hair starts growing from places that never grew before and all these issues. What a joke growing old. But then on top of that, you're not taken seriously anymore. I'm saying like around 40, but 60, 70, 80, the
right.
Perception. Okay, so there's Tuesdays with Maury, but Maury's, he's dead, you know, but
how old is your soul? I mean, is it the soul of your 23-year-old, you know, where you're still, you know, getting hard-ons when the wind blows?
Well,
or are you an 80-year-old man soul where, you're cranky and you're bitchy and,
right. Who knows? But is there even, why is there a need for sex if it's, souls, you know what I'm saying? Souls.
Right.
May not even be a need for sex. And what kind of heaven is that, John?
That ain't no heaven.
It's not one I want to go to.
No,
over.
No.
Right on.
I'm
95.
I want 70 virgins.
But part of this midlife crisis is when you get older, you're no longer, I can't think of the word. It's a young man's world, John. In the arts and... in entertainment, in business.
Well, of course it is.
Young man's
world. Of course
world.
It is.
Yeah.
Of course it is, because that is being renewed every day.
Irrelevant. That's what you are when you get older.
Irrelevant. You're irrelevant.
Yeah.
Except to the cemeteries and hospitals.
Right, and the old folks' homes.
So you're very relevant there.
But other than that, yeah, you just become a nuisance. Like, for me, I hope that...
Just wait. One of these mornings, you're going to be playing that pickup basketball, and you're going to break a fucking hip. Or you're going to whip a ball at some kid and hit him in the head, call him faggot school, and he's going to sue you, and you won't have a house to live in.
That's fine. I don't need monetary possessions. I'll move in down here.
You won't. With your broken hips, trying to wheelchair down my stairs.
But I think about a Pete Maravich, right? Here's a basketball player. He died on the basketball court.
Pistol Pete?
Pistol Pete when he was a young man.
Yeah, he was a fantastic passer.
That's really the way to go. Well, maybe not that young, but...
That's the way to go.
Here's the way to go. When you're 80, 85, whatever, you just have a heart attack and you die. Forget about that stuff where you start losing your mind and you end up in a... And then your kids have to act like they care and by once a month and they put you in some shithole and
or
somebody
if you're
has to
incontinent and they got to change your fucking diaper.
Forget all that stuff.
Yeah, that's for shit. I wouldn't want my kids to go through that. I don't know if I'd have the guts to blow my brains out though.
Nah, but maybe, you know, pills or something. Like do a Heath Ledger.
I might wheelchair myself in front of a moving train.
It'd be great to die having sex. Or in a pickup basketball game for me.
Yeah, but you might not have much of a chance if you're doing pickup basketball or riding a horse and you become paralyzed from the neck down.
Oh, that would...
You're going up for a layup and that's it. You land right on your head. Dude, I can't feel my arms or legs, man. Oh, shit. Now what do? Dad's in a wheelchair forever. Now when he takes a shit, we got to massage his stomach, lay him on a big plastic sheet.
Yeah, forget that.
That's fucked up.
All right, John, moving on.
Now that we're all depressed.
A couple of quick movie reviews. Meet the Spartans, we talked about.
You saw that?
I did not see it. It was in the theater. It actually had the most box office for 1 week, and then you don't really hear about it anymore. But somebody said, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, so bad that I hesitate to label it a movie and thus reflect shame upon the entire medium of film. And the guy goes on to write that the running time is only 68 minutes. So not only is it horrible, but 68 minutes, it's not even, you're paying $10 for an hour and 8 minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
68 minutes.
It has a running time of 84 minutes, but it's actually 68 minutes because the running time includes the closing credits and all that other shit. What a horrible movie.
Yeah.
And it made money, so that means they're going to make another one of those pieces of shit.
Meet the Spartans Part 2.
Yeah, and these damn 13-year-olds. Oh, you know why? I'm thinking of this because...
it's a young man's world, Scott.
Over the weekend, I saw the predecessor to this one, which I don't even know the name. But my daughter said, oh, put that movie on. I heard about that from my friends. It's so funny.
Yeah.
And I turned it on, and it was this Meet the Spartans kind of shit. I'm like, we're not watching this. So then I put on True Lies.
Oh, we watched it yesterday, Me and the Sun.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday, too.
It was the edited version on TV.
Well, we started watching that, and then
too much F word for the Sun.
We said, "Hey, wait a minute! We got the VHS. Put the VHS in." Then this other movie, John. I don't know if you heard about this.
With your kids around, you're watching?
Oh, with Emma, yeah.
With the F word, the F bomb's going.
She hears it.
My God!
We're driving to Klondike Days up in the Great North Woods. There.
I love that. You know, you smoke pot in front of your kids. They're gonna see it.
I didn't say that. You put words in my mouth.
You do anal in front of your kids. They'll see it on. They see it online. What the fuck is that?
Here's the deal, man.
You're a parent, for Christ's sake. You're not their friend.
Oh, like, let's pretend, fuck, the word doesn't exist.
No, I'm not saying that. That's not my point.
She knows
not
to say
it.
You're not their pal. She knows not to say it.
All right.
So we're driving to the Klondike Days, and some... my uncle cuts this guy off, right? Well, it's... up to interpretation if he really cut him off or not. So the guy gets right on my uncle's ass, my daughter turns around and looks at the guy, and he starts honking. And she turns back, and he says, he just flipped up his middle finger. So then the guy gets in the other lane and drives, goes screaming by us. And my aunt, who's sitting right next to my daughter, flips the guy off and calls him an asshole.
Oh, boy.
So my daughter thought this was the greatest moment, one of the greatest moments of her life. And she couldn't wait. Can I tell mommy? Can I tell mommy that story? Yeah, you can tell mommy that story, but you're going to have to clean it up, you know?
Yeah.
So she knows all these words. But I did have to go upstairs for a little bit, and my uncle came up and he said, yeah, Emma just asked me what a blowjob was, so I told her she could ask you.
Yeah, yeah. See what I'm saying?
I'm like, what?
They're he not said, ready for it yet. That's the point.
He and, said, yeah, I'm just shitting with you.
That's awesome, man. Because I remember my mom tells a story when I was 8. And I asked her what sprim was.
Sprim?
Sprim.
Uh-huh. Sprim.
Yeah. Jimmy told me it comes out of your pee-pee, some sprim, in front of her and her best friend. And they're like, I think you mean sperm, honey. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's it. Sperm. What is it? You're too young to know about that stuff. Who told you this again? Jimmy, down the street. You know, he's like 16. I'm 8. teaching me about sperm.
Marsha's already had the talk with Emma. Emma knows all that stuff.
Well, they teach you in school.
Yeah, she's getting the formal education this year and next year.
What do you mean formal?
Well, like through school, like we had to go in and we actually watched the movie that they're going to show the kids. And then if we had any questions, you know.
Jesus Christ. What is this, a Catholic school?
And I was thinking, boy, we could make a better movie than the one they put together.
This is a muff.
Now,
what did they say?
My mom, I was raised by a single parent. You were too, right?
Sort of.
Until what age?
Well, I was raised by a single parent multiple times. it was on and off.
On and off.
On and off.
Oh, okay.
Between
I see what you're
three
saying.
And like, let's see, three and I think seven. And then
you
from
had a,
seven
a dad.
To
you had
ten,
a father figure, is what you're saying?
No, between from three to seven, I had
no father figure.
And from like seven to ten, I had one. And then I didn't have one till like 13. And then from 13 to, like, now, well, probably up through my last day of high school, me and the stepdad used to duke it out in the driveway. That was his wonderful experience, marrying into a family with a bunch of nutcases for kids.
Yeah, I never...
I give him a lot of credit.
I think I scared away all the my mom, so...
I didn't do a good enough job, apparently.
Because she was single the whole time, never once told me anything about sex or anything, right? Never even had my uncles tell me.
Wow.
So I'm walking around 7th or 8th grade in the hallways, and the guys are all running around talking about this one kid who didn't know what cum was. Can you believe he doesn't know what cum is, dumbass? Yeah, stupid. What a stupid. Yeah. And then I'm like, what the fuck is
that?
Cum?
Your voice?
Yeah, that was my voice.
Your balls didn't drop yet?
No,
what,
they didn't.
What did they drop?
They didn't
like
drop
18?
To like junior year of high school.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the stupid ass. Stupid. Doesn't know what cum is. And I'm like, what the fuck is they talking about?
What is cum?
I don't know what cum is either. But I'm not going to let on like that.
Right, right.
So then when I was a little older, I said, hey, moms. True. How come you never told me about the birds? I learned on the street, Mom.
Yeah.
She said, I told you when you were 8.
Oh.
8? Come on. That's a bunch
of
shit.
No boys at 8 remember Jack.
Right.
I can't get my son to remember to grab his gloves 5 seconds after I tell him. Here's what happened today. Nate, go get some forks. Okay. Where is he? Well, honey, did you tell him to get some forks? Yeah, I told him to get some forks. He's supposed to be getting... I look in the kitchen. No Nate. Look in the other room. He's standing there staring at the television. And there's a commercial on. I'm like...
He's mesmerized by the commercial.
Nate!
What are you doing?
Oh, he comes walking in. Yeah, he got a fork for himself, but nobody else.
That's nice.
Oh, you want it for... dude, what the hell? So we thought, like, he was retarded or something. Well, the wife starts comparing stories at school, and apparently all the boys his age have this...
Mental lapse.
Yeah, real, very, very short-term memory, like a gnat.
Yeah, my kid already has it. And yeah. He's four.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I told the wife, I said, I'm going to have to stay in shape because... He and I are, we're going to go toe to toe.
He's going to kick your old ass.
Experience.
All he's got to do is stand on those gorilla hands of yours, and that's it. Just box your chin back. You're going to be able to, you won't be able to stand upright anymore. Just wait. When that hip goes out, when them youngins take you up, bang you right at the boards, you're done.
No way. I can still hang with the youngins.
Yeah, when you're 43 and you're banging hard at the boards, show me your goddamn toenails coming off.
That was a fluke.
Fluke.
I forgot to cut them, that's all. But I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah, I've been playing for a while.
You've been playing. You come to practice the other night. Oh, I'm so exhausted, man. And my foot's swollen.
Yeah, it's swollen.
I apologize. I didn't have time to practice. But I'm reading a book at work,
hey man,
and I don't do jack shit else.
I had midterms. I can't bring my bass to work.
My foot's swollen. And, let me tell you about the 47 movies I watched.
All right, getting back to shitty movies.
And see what
meet
I'm saying?
The Spartans.
You can be learning how to play the bass
meet the
as
Spartans.
Secondary income.
And the next movie, I don't know if you heard about this one, John. Hottie and the Naughty. Have you heard this
Hottie?
One? The Hottie
and the Naughty.
Do you know who it stars?
I have not. No.
Paris Hilton's latest blockbuster.
Oh, fuck.
The Hottie and the Naughty.
Naughty or Naughty?
Naughty. Like, she's not hot. The Hottie and the Naughty.
The Naughty Hot.
Is almost entirely laugh-free. Watching is like watching a wall. The picture runs about 90 minutes and could easily lose 20. Make that 30. I'd still be 60 minutes too long, though. Paris Hilton's latest blockbuster, The Hottie and the Naughty, opened this past weekend on 111 screens, raking in $81 per screen.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That means roughly 1 to 2 people were at each screening.
$81.
I think that breaks Jessica Simpson's record, which she just set. What, a month ago with her shitty movie?
Wow. I think we could get more than $81.
In addition, The Hottie and the Naughty has been rated the worst film of all time by users of the Internet Movie Database. The comedy, which bombed at the box office, takes the top spot from the 2004 film Zombie Nation.
Wow.
So a slew of shitty movies coming out. And you know that the Zohan one is going to be total shit.
Yeah.
Don't mess with the Zohan.
Don't mess. That's going to be great. You shut up, man. Adam Sandler rules.
So how are you doing on your top
Don't
10
mess.
Worst
it's,
movies
It's hard, man.
Of
it's
all
hard
time.
Because, you know, some movies.
Yeah, I only have four of them.
You look at and it's like, man, that was a great movie when I was younger. But now, I don't know who could fucking stand watching some shit like that.
Well, that could be part of your review then. Hey, this is one of the worst movies of all time, but I actually liked this movie at one time.
Yeah.
I have four on my list now.
Like
so
Johnny
I have six
Mnemonic.
More. Oh, I saw that the first time. I thought it was shit.
The first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, we got to see this, man. You got to see it. And I saw it a second time with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Yeah, what the fuck was I thinking, man?
I need a computer.
When I heard you start cracking up when he said that, I was like, yeah, that is pretty fucking funny with the hands and what was I thinking that this was a good movie?
Who'd
I
you
don't
see
know.
It with first? Did you partake?
Yeah,
oh,
always did.
Did
man,
we partake?
With Joe, probably.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we did because I think we brought the ladies.
Oh, the ladies.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my wife, she's not a big partaker, you know, but every once in a while. And when I brought that big giant bong home years and years ago, remember that?
I remember that. The 3-footer?
She tried it. And she filled the chamber completely. And I said, man, pull it, pull it, pull it, pull it. And she's going and going. She didn't know what I was saying. She never did one before. Oh, oh my God. I said, good night.
Well, she used to be a swimmer too, right?
Yeah.
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 Good lung capacity.
You too, man. You too are a swimmer, right?
You too? Oh,
no,
yeah.
No, you were as well.
Yeah, but I've got a hemoglobin defect, so I don't know if the pot affects me the same way. I never had good lung capacity.
What?
Well, we would do these things called, my coach was a total ass.
Who'd you have?
Actually, he was a good coach, but this one aspect.
What was his name?
Shivanik.
Oh, I hated that fucking guy.
He wanted to mimic swimming in Denver at a high altitude.
Yeah.
He thought if we could mimic that, then we could be really good during the meet. So his way to mimic that was to not breathe. So, for example, we do 10 50s.
It's called dying.
Yeah, for me it was. We do 10 50s there and back, and you couldn't breathe. The whole time.
Did he whip the kickboard at your head?
He whipped the kickboard at your head if he saw you breathing. Nice. And I would get the worst goddamn headaches. And other guys on the team had no problem
doing
this.
Yeah, that's because your brain does not get oxygen.
Well, especially when you have a hemoglobin defect, John.
Right, right.
Which I didn't find out until I had my son, and they did genetic testing and said he has a hemoglobin defect. So that explains a lot there, John.
Yeah.
But moving on. David Blaine, we've talked about him before. Oh, so our top 10.
I got to take a piss, man.
Our top 10 worst movies of all time.
Yeah.
I'll start a forum thread for that. But we got to get that together. Maybe we can get that together next week for Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some that he wants to talk about. All right, you got to take a piss.
Can we take a break?
Let's take a break. I'll get us up some more beers.
Yeah, some beers.
Some beers. And,
what do you want to hear? Stairway? Any way you want it? Surrender? From practice.
From practice.
Yeah.
Let's do, Surrender and Stairway, they're both pretty long, so that'll give us a lot of time to take a nice break. Whatever you want out of those two.
I like the Stairway because it's really
Let's
funny.
Do it.
All right. Here's Stairway from the
from practice. This is practice.
I got to take a leak.
Me too, John.
Start over. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows that the stores are all closed. With a word, she can't get what she came for. Ooh, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. Ooh, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. When she gets there, she knows.
Oh, yeah.
Right on, John.
Right on. Wow.
And we're back.
That was a Stairway with Rainbow mixed in there, man. What's that other lick we do? I played it for somebody. They're like, what's with all the dick teases, man?
What do you mean, dick teases?
Well, we play
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, we only play like one measure of it.
How many would not
How
be
many
a dick
bars?
Tease? How many bars would not be a dick tease?
You know where we play the eight bars at the end?
Shut up, man.
Yeah, what did you say? Practice.
I gotta
clip that out.
I was tired.
At practice, you said. So we got this thing where we get invited to a studio, a real recording studio, to help out a local community college with their engineering class, and they need a live band to do the setup, learn how to set up mics and use Pro Tools, and they have a huge mixing board and all this stuff, and it's a real, you know, studio. So Scott says, hey man, why don't you bring your electronic drums? And I still think
it's a good idea.
No, it's fucking stupid. How do they set up the mics? Real good education for the kids. And Rick says,
they're still the
mixing.
Yeah,
it'll sound great. You hear the on the toms. There's still the mixing. What do you mean? It's pre-mixed.
They still have to hook it to something.
Hook it.
They have to mic the vocals and the bass.
They still have to hook it.
Guitar. Oh. Yeah.
It's all pre-mixed, man. Just like this.
Can't you see? I'm trembling. A girl like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous. I'm falling.
How about that, man?
That's sweet, man. Do we got a whole song there?
Yeah.
Maybe we could play that at the very end.
Dangerous.
Or if we take another break.
My favorite is the Surrender. Drunk, man? No.
No way, man.
The drunken drummer beat.
I'm drunk on happiness.
That's classic, man. That is a keeper right there.
Keeper there, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to celebrity news. Somebody we talked about before, David Blaine, is back in the news, John. David Blaine.
Blaine.
He's an illusionist.
It's not like I got a relaxed Blaine or anything, is
it? He postpones his most demanding stunt yet. Do you know what that is, John? His most demanding stunt yet?
No.
He's postponed his bid to stay awake for 13 days because it's his most physically demanding stunt yet.
That guy's a fucking idiot.
The 34-year-old is training and dieting obsessively to prepare his body for the world record attempt, which he has already confessed he fears will leave him brain damaged. He's not already. The feat was planned for New York City in May, but will now take place in July or August.
How could you be brain damaged if you don't have any?
Well, isn't he already brain damaged?
You saying I got no brains?
It's amazing this guy has a goddamn career.
Yeah.
Why didn't we think of this?
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed
David
brain.
David Blaine.
But I ain't punchy. A
relaxed Blaine. Fucking doofus.
He says, this one demands a lot out of me. I run 13 miles a week around Central Park's reservoir. And he's lost a bunch of pounds in 7 weeks. And of course, he's dieting. My raw diet has brown rice, no red meat, or animal products.
And it's brown poo.
I need to drop another 8 pounds and then stay this way. It's not healthy to go up and down. So he postpones his most demanding stunt to stay awake for 13 days.
Yeah, and I go up and down on Dave Navarro.
I'm so upset we didn't think of that. Why didn't we think of that?
What?
We'll just tell somebody we're going to stay awake for 13 days. Our most demanding stunt yet, John. and then get. How does he make money off of that? I don't know.
I don't know, man. That's what we should do. We should do a TTN broadcast for 13 days.
All right.
We'll take vacations from work, and we'll say we're going to stay awake the whole time.
And then we'll just loop it and take naps.
Hey, didn't they just say that like an hour ago?
Say that?
Didn't they say just say that?
In other celebrity news.
What?
Nancy Bart Simpson Cartwright. So this is the woman who does the voice of Bart Simpson. Guess what she did, John?
She became a Scientologist.
Yes, she gave
$10 million
to Scientology.
No, I'm kidding, man. You're kidding, right?
No, what? I'm not.
What?
Actress Nancy Cartwright, the voice behind cartoon character Bart Simpson, has been awarded Scientology's Patron Laureate Award for donating $10 million to the faith. Cartwright's gift, almost two times her annual salary from The Simpsons, puts her top of the list of celebrity benefactors who have handed over hard-earned cash to the church.
You cock!
Get this, John. She gave even more than Tom Cruise.
You fucker!
Who is reported to be the controversial religion second in command. Has only donated $5 million in the last 4 years. Kirstie Alley gave $5 million. Guess how much that tightwad John Travolta gave and his wife, Kelly
bucks.
Preston. $1 million. They
fucking
were awarded
tightwad.
The gold Meritorious Award, and Priscilla Presley.
Oh my God!
I
don't understand how you could be so fucking stupid.
Patron award for donation of $50,000. The prizes were handed out at a top secret ceremony. Well, it couldn't have been that top secret if John and Scott know about it.
I need a computer.
But here's the deal, John. This is not a religion. This is a total fucking scam. And
no doubt. And they're.
Nancy Cartwright is a dope. You're a dope.
I don't get why we haven't thought of something like this ourselves.
Well, here's the deal.
I think we should go get our reverendship.
In Scientology?
No,
or in something else?
In TTNology.
TTNology. Tatanusology.
Tet.
We could have people just run around screaming tet. And give him some shit.
I gotta
about
say,
how
your
releases.
Rant on the forum while you're schooling Andrew for no apparent reason. You did say, "I am an authority on stupidity." Just listen to the tetanus post.
Doesn't tetanus mean anything to you?
Right.
Well, here's the deal: the Scientology, it's not a religion. Let's compare it with, for example, if you asked a Catholic or a Jew or a Christian about their religion, they're not going to stop talking until you leave the goddamn room.
Right.
But if you do that with Scientology, what are they going to do? They're going to ask to see your goddamn checkbook before they say anything.
Right.
That's a sign of a cult, not a religion. Right. And isn't it ironic that this 10-year-old character that Nancy Cartwright portrays, Bart Simpson, is smarter than she is.
I think that is the proper use of irony.
Thank you, John.
Because it's unexpected. The coincidence is unexpected.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Related Scientology news. Tom Cruise and Scientology. A spokesperson.
Really?
Says,
Tom Cruise.
Having presented these selected and out of context excerpts.
Well, we got to play some while you're talking.
With
about
the
that.
Intent of creating both controversy and ridicule, resulted in people searching for Church of Scientology websites. And what he's talking about is that wacky video with Tom Cruise. Almost
dude,
goddamn incoherent.
Did you watch that thing through the whole thing?
I did.
Is that not fucking freaky or what?
That is freaky. It's very freaky.
It's like, is he acting right there? Because if he were acting like a nut job Scientologist wacko, he'd get a fucking Oscar. And if that's the real guy, that guy is, that's the way he is in every fucking movie. I was like, this is it, man. This is it.
Yeah, he's a Looney Tune. What I saw was...
allegedly.
Somebody who's brainwashed. You know, like... who was the one they brainwashed?
You're glib, Scott. You're
kidnapped
glib.
Kidnapped her? Was it a Rockefeller?
Patty Hearst?
Patty Hearst. Yeah. Brainwashed. That's what Tom Cruise
is. You're glib.
Is. I'm glib, he's brainwashed. How about that?
Yeah.
I'll be glib. I'd rather be glib than brainwashed.
Scott Glib.
The clip on the internet, John, was 9 minutes long. It was edited. Here's what they say, the spokesperson from Scientology. It was edited to make Tom Cruise look really crazy.
What?
It was edited that way. He's not really crazy. That's just the way it was edited. Last week, actress and fellow Scientologist Kirstie Alley came to Cruise's defense, claiming the video was never meant to be seen by the general public. She said Tom was using words meant for Scientology audience. On the web, the video is taken out of context, John. It's like a rabbi addressing a Christian church, speaking in Hebrew. No one would understand him.
Yeah, that's a bunch of shit.
So Scientology has its own language now. So what you're paying for not only is to how to cleanse yourself of thetans, but how to learn a new language.
Unbelievable. This is a great song, though, isn't it?
It is a great song. Moving on in celebrity news, John. Lindsay Lohan. She hasn't been in the news for a while. Have you seen Lindsay Lohan
Lindsay
lately?
Lindsay Lohan. She looks like shit,
She
man.
Looks like total shit.
Yeah, she's like...
That is one big pile of shit.
Arguably one of the most attractive women at the time. Could have been something stellar there, John. But no.
Yeah.
She had to go out and fucking drink. And who knows what else she's doing. And she looks like she's fucking 40 years old. She looks like shit.
Yeah. Crap.
You know,
garbage.
2 years ago, we said, hey, Lindsay, if you need a real manager and somebody to look out for you, because you seem like a lot of trouble.
A real manager.
We could have done that.
That's right.
And she would have had a whole goddamn different career now. But no. Now she's celebrity news on our show. That's what she is.
Yeah, Lindsay. You don't want to end up with celebrity news on TTN. That's for damn sure.
Lindsay Lohan has been forced to dump some of her closest friends since leaving rehab 6 months ago because she can no longer trust them to help her stay sober. The former party girl insists her summer stint at the lodge in Utah has turned her into a new and better person. All right?
Wow.
So that's kind of a positive note. She's dumping her friends.
Right.
She's trying to say stober. Stay stober.
Stay stober. Unlike stober. Scott of John and Scott.
But then get this. The very next story comes out. Lohan blames her home life for meltdown. Okay. So now I had this problem, but you know what? It's not my fault. Get this. Lohan blames her turbulent family life for her meltdown last year, insisting she was running away from the chaos at home.
Chaos.
The actress spent the summer in rehab and 84 minutes in jail after two DUIs. Her party girl lifestyle also landed her in trouble with a Hollywood studio boss angry for her poor timekeeping. Lohan lays the blame for her bad behavior on the stress of her movie career and her father's two-year prison sentence for violating his probation.
Ugh.
She tells Harper Bazaar, "Not seeing my father was really hard on me and not being with my family enough. It wasn't taking any time to just sit and live and breathe.
What?
I was going, and that ran me down. I was a stressor. It upset me. I didn't have a father to call. And that was a lot of pain. I have it in me to go. I'm still young. I love life. I love music and being around that. I love people. And I'm a very social person, but I also love being home. Quiet and normal. I've always been a homebody. Seriously, I was just running away from what my home had become.
You're a psychopathic bitch.
What a crock of shit. Somebody needs to tell her to wake the fuck up and take responsibility for your total failure as a human being. It's not your daddy's fault. Your daddy had his own problems, but that's not his fault.
Stop whining.
Get your shit together.
Like
she's crying about having a movie career?
Yeah,
she's
right.
Crying about that?
Oh, shit.
People would kill for a goddamn movie. People kill over cartoons. They would kill for a movie career.
Who is
so
your
shut
daddy
your whining.
And what does he do?
I think it's too late. You know, I would say call us, give us a call. We'll get your shit together, but it's too late for her. She's off the goddamn fucking deep end. And her mom probably enables this stuff.
What would you
you're
say?
Right. You're right. It's your dad's fault.
If you called her up, what would you say?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd say.
Hello, cutie pie.
Really?
Howdy, stranger.
Yeah,
it's nice to
like
meet
that.
You.
How are you?
Good.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
It's pretty much how I'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately. Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Oh, I wouldn't ask that question. No. Because then she'd get into the hole.
You are mine now. You belong to me.
That's what you'd say, probably.
Well, probably. She needs some tough love there,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, if she start that bitching, you'd be like,
stop whining. You lack discipline.
Yeah, I'd give her discipline, all right.
What if she just kept on whining? What would you say then?
Probably something like this.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
Yeah, I hear you.
You psychopathic bitch.
One last celebrity story before we turn to science news, John.
No.
This is something we talked about before. The less you know about someone, the better. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Gellar.
I used to respect her career, I guess. She was Buffy, right? And she's done a couple of movies. And then she says this. She comes out and says this. And then it's like, are you even a human being? Sarah Michelle Gellar was so shocked by how realistically violent co-star Andy Garcia was while shooting scenes for their new movie, she had to walk off the set, John.
What?
The actress grew close. Garcia, while they made The Air I Breathe together, but found it hard to watch his method approach to his role as a crime boss. Gellar battled through scenes when Garcia was forced to beat up their co-star, Brendan Fraser, and suffered herself when he turned on her character, a pop star. She says, I had a hard time separating the scene from what is reality. And at one point, I had to leave.
Does she not know what acting is about?
I didn't know the scary side of Andy. I'm a small girl, and he doesn't let go. When he throws me up against a wall, that's actuality.
All right, well, that would be... There's a difference between Andy Garcia and...
I need a computer.
What a goddamn dope. And this is somebody... It's not her first fucking movie. She's been in the business 10 years.
Yeah.
And when somebody...
Scooby-Doo, come on.
And when somebody finally acts around her, she doesn't know how to respond. It's unbelievable to me, John. These people make a living doing this, and they don't have a clue.
We don't take.
I don't know. I don't know what to say, man.
That's Sarah Michelle Gellar.
It's like what?
Pardon me?
What is? Why are you in the business then? Then go fucking wait on tables. You know,
right
go to Vegas, be a fucking stripper, you big baby.
Yeah, if it scares you so much.
Ugh.
Scared by Andy Garcia.
Somebody's just got to tell her, you know.
Stop being such a pussy.
You know, that's it.
All right, turning to science news, John.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy.
New research shows, and this is an old story, but... that people with blue eyes have a single common ancestor. Did you hear about this one?
No.
A team at the University of Copenhagen have tracked down a genetic mutation which took place 6 to 10,000 years ago and is the cause of the eye color of all blue-eyed humans alive on the planet today. Originally, we all had brown eyes, said Professor Edberg from the Department of Cellular and Molecular Medicine. But a genetic mutation affected the OCA2 gene in our chromosome resulted in the creation of a switch, which literally...
literally.
The ability to produce brown eyes. Variation in the color of eyes from brown to green can all be explained by the amount of the melanin in the iris. But blue-eyed individuals only have a small degree of variation in the amount of melanin in their eyes. Now, here's the problem I have with this story, John.
I don't get that.
It's saying that if you have blue eyes and somebody else had blue eyes, you're related to them. You have a common ancestor.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Oh, we all have a common ancestor, Adam and Steve.
Well, my son.
I mean, Adam and Eve.
My right.
Right. So your
Give
son.
Give me a break. He's got blue eyes.
So he is a common ancestor.
Oh, and the wife has blue eyes.
There you go. But the thing about this story that I don't get is, okay, so this genetic mutation they say occurred 6 to 10,000 years ago. But how did they know it only happened once? It could have happened.
Yeah, good point.
It could have happened 50 times in the last 10,000 years.
Where's their proof?
So if it happened 50 times, then there's 50 common ancestors, and you may not have the same common ancestor.
Yeah, that's like string theory.
Yeah, stupid. It's a fairy tale is what it is.
Shit. Yeah.
All right, John.
What's
Moving
your
on.
Point?
Mississippi. There's news out of science news out of Mississippi.
News out of Mississippi science news?
Mississippi news out of science.
All right.
As Mississippi lawyer.
What?
Mississippi lawyer proposed to ban restaurants from serving fat people.
Oh, finally.
Bill Tex.
Finally.
Number one, restaurants shall not be allowed to serve food to any person who is obese. Number two, the State Department of Health shall monitor and may revoke the permit of any food establishment that repeatedly violates this rule. Rationales. If Mississippi has the nation's highest obesity rate. Also, Mississippi's obesity rate costs Medicaid alone $221 million each year. Objections. Huh. The food police have gone too far. It's discriminatory. The state should focus on promoting exercise instead. Some people are big and happy. I've seen a lot of crazy laws, but this one takes the cake, literally. Sponsors rebuttal, I'm just trying to highlight the problem. Nature's review banning people from restaurants based on appearance.
We used to go to Safeway all the time trying to steal donuts.
Whoa. And that is what it really boils down to, banning people from restaurants based on appearance.
I'm retarded.
And I don't think that's right, John.
I guess that's your theory.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments? You have anything to say about that?
Well, I don't care. Fuck them. I'll burn the place down.
Well, if I'm a restaurant owner.
No,
right?
A restaurant. I think this is a government law, right? In Mississippi?
Well, they're proposing it is to be a state law in Mississippi. But if I'm a restaurant owner, I am not going to like this law.
No. You don't get to make any money.
Yeah. Who am I going to make money from? That's like saying, you know what? People who drink can't go to bars anymore.
They lose 35% of their revenue because they think 35% of the country is obese.
35%?
Or more than that, yeah. I don't. That's just fucking nanny statism.
It's unbelievable to me.
It's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
I don't know how they get away with that shit. But.
Well, we called them on it. Maybe somebody else will. Get this next story, John.
Yeah, we can't serve you. You're fat.
But get this next story. And think about the story that we just read, okay? When I read this next one.
I say they can't serve fucking fat white politicians.
Oh, that reminds
Anything.
Me. I had to take a crap and... A public toilet.
Yeah.
And the guy, I took the handicap stall because I like that. It's nice and big.
Right. Yeah, you could spread your feet out.
And a guy got in the stall next to me. And when it was time to wipe,
yeah,
I had to like turn and my foot kind of slid out.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't go under the stall.
You're juxtaposing.
Yeah, I was juxtaposing.
Did you put your hand under and like...
No, I didn't do that.
Oh.
But I thought back to
Larry Craig. Yeah.
Now, he says he has a wide stance. So after this happened, I started to experiment with wide stances. And there's no way There's no way
with pants down your ankles.
Well, I didn't have it at my ankles. I had them like at my knees, and even then, I can only get so wide,
so far underneath wiping your ass.
Well, that's when I kind of tilted to the side, you know, as it were.
Oh yeah,
and then the right leg kind of
yeah,
slipped
you bend
out
the knee.
Yeah, because my left and right leg were still parallel, but they were kind of moved over to the right side of me.
I usually take like a foot out of my pant leg and then put it on the toilet paper holder and then wipe, because that gives me more you know, freedom area.
Right. I used to do that until I broke the toilet paper holder.
Right. I haven't done that yet. Maybe I should stop doing that.
All right, now, getting back to the next science story, think about the last one we just read. Here's coming out of a Dutch study, John.
Dutch.
Fat people are less medically expensive than other people over a lifetime, according to a Dutch study.
Uh-huh.
Findings. Fat people cost more per year than smokers or non-fat smokers do. But get this, John. Why do you think they're less expensive?
They don't go to doctors.
But they only cost more up to the age of 56.
Oh. Wait, what?
So what they're saying is they cost more, but they die younger. They die when they're 56.
Oh.
You don't have to pay for fat people anymore.
Right, right.
Whereas smokers can live into their 80s, and it's just a goddamn nightmare. After that, smokers cost more. However, fat people and smokers die earlier by 4 and 7 years, respectively.
Wow.
Net result, lifetime health expenditure was highest among healthy living people and lowest for smokers, with fat people in between. Conclusion, obesity prevention may be an important and cost-effective way of improving public health, but it is not a cure for increasing health expenditures.
Right.
But there's some critics. The study didn't include non-medical costs.
Right.
Such as lost productivity. And number two, if saving money is our overriding goal, let's promote quick killers such as lung cancer. Old argument for the war on fat. Fat costs everyone money. New argument on the war on fat. Fat costs are immeasurable. John.
Right. How could you? You can't measure anything.
You can't, really.
What about skinny people?
It's all interpretation.
They don't spend enough on food.
That's right.
So they can't support an economy. They'll drive us backwards. People will be out of jobs if they're so goddamn skinny. Fat people are keeping people employed.
There's another way to look
and
at
because
it.
Because they're less productive, people got to pick up the slack. So there's more jobs for everybody.
Right.
So I think this is a very negative research. I don't understand how this is doing anybody good.
Dutch. It's the Dutch.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
Right on, John. The Dutch.
Yeah.
All right. That's all for science news.
Everybody's worried about, I'm going to save the fucking world one person at a time. Save your fucking self and mind your own goddamn business.
Yeah, how about that?
Nobody fucking asked you.
Moving on to politics, John.
You want
to
smoke? Smoke 13 packs a minute. I don't give a shit. You want to own a gun, put a bullet in it, spin the chamber, and shoot it at your fucking forehead? Go ahead. I'm all for it.
Well, I'm not all for it, but I couldn't care one way or the other.
I'm all for your right to do whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, sure. Well, how are you going to stop somebody from shooting themselves in the head?
You put your hand in front of the...
You have to be there.
Oh.
And even if I'm there, I'm not going to risk my hand for some... person who's going to kill themselves anyway. Forget that.
Yeah, speaking of that, how about the shit that went down at NIU, man?
I don't know too much about it because I left right when that shit was going down.
Well,
do you know the story? What's the story?
Our nephew goes to school there, and he just left the hall. And he was in the shower when this was going down. And I guess the wife couldn't get a hold of him. And everybody was freaking out. And what happened was this guy...
Well, hold on. You know, we have listeners worldwide, John.
Yeah, well, this guy... We have a college here. University. Northern Illinois University in DeKalb. It's not too far. We've partied there many times.
It's about an hour, right?
Yeah. And the sociology student, a very well-educated, accredited, he was going to graduate school at NIU. He graduated from, as an undergraduate, from the University of Illinois in Champaign. And he studied the effects of self-injury done by prisoners. So he's kind of in the law thing and sociology part of it. The kid just decides to walk into a classroom, not a classroom, but like an auditorium where a professor is giving a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in through a side door with a trench. He's got a shotgun and two handguns, a Glock, and I don't know what the other one is. And he just starts pumping away, boom, 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 shooting people like crazy. Kills five students.
Six. And himself.
I thought it was five and himself, which made six.
No, it's seven, because one of them died like a day later in the hospital.
That's what I said, but I kept hearing today that it was six altogether, including himself. Well, whatever. Six or seven. And then wounded.
And how many injured?
I don't remember what the total was.
And what was this guy's motive?
They don't have one yet.
Nothing.
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 They got no letter, no video. Nothing like this other kid from Virginia Tech.
Like he didn't have a grudge against the professor or one of the students?
No, but apparently he chased a professor down to fire a shot into him. I don't think he killed the professor. But what the fuck is going on, man? That
obviously,
was like the
it's video games,
one.
John.
And, oh, yeah, that's it.
It's obvious to me.
Yeah.
It's video games.
It's that Wiimote.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be the video games. What else
could it be? Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what made Gacy do it? Video games? Clowns.
Clowns.
Yeah.
No.
What made Dahmer do it? What made him eat people? Video games.
What about Hitler?
I think it was Pong.
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Hitler was a big fan of Donkey Kong.
Big Donkey Kong player, I heard, yeah.
Stalin, too.
Yeah.
Well, he was
Mussolini.
More into, what do they call it? God damn it. Where does he run through the hallways and shoot people? Wolfenstein.
Oh, fuck.
Stalin was into Wolfenstein. That's what I heard.
It's fucked up, man. Gee, I don't know what the hell goes through these kids' minds, man, that they just snap.
Well, it pisses me off because my kids will eventually go to college, right? And instead of, well, in addition to me worrying about my daughter ending up at a frat party or some shit like that, now I got to worry about some asshole showing up with a trench coat and mowing people down for no fucking reason. Even if he had a reason, it's not.
It's not good.
It's not good enough. Yeah. Now I got to worry about that.
I don't know how. When you say worry about it, what do you do? Do you arm everybody? Should everybody have a gun when they go to school? Like it's the old West.
I don't know.
High
noon. I don't know, man.
You know? Or should the teachers have the guns? Here's what would happen. Nothing. This guy would still pump off a bunch of rounds, and people would be running for the fucking exits. They wouldn't be fumbling around for their Glock in their purse.
I disagree.
And pull it out and just start blowing this guy away.
Well, I don't want to come down on the women, because I don't know anything about being a woman. But being a young man, there is, and that's why the military is so effective, there is this thinking that you're invincible at that age, at 18, 20, that nothing can happen to you.
Yeah, but the military, they don't just throw a gun in your hand and go, hey, all right.
I understand.
Go out there and start shooting. No.
I understand there's training.
There's training.
But if you got a guy who brings a Glock to class, I give it 50-50. 50 he's going to run, 50 he's going to try to be the goddamn hero. And he's going to think, I'm invincible, I'll take this motherfucker out. But who knows, he'd probably end up shooting five other kids.
Right, that's the other thing. When he starts firing away, he's going to stick his arm over the top of the chair, not even look, and be going, and
sideways,
people,
man.
Yeah,
sideways.
Everybody's gonna get hit. You know, you know, it's like that. The theory of, and I had this discussion with somebody before who's a big wants to have the concealed carry in Arizona, and which they do. Because I was in this Circle K one day, and this guy walks in and buys some shit, and my wife's dad was working there. And I said, who's that, the new sheriff in town? He goes, oh, no, that's perfectly legal. You can carry your gun on the outside. This is before it became concealed carry. You can wear a handgun anytime you want. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. But this guy was upset because, this not my father-in-law, but this other guy was upset because he couldn't take his gun into a shopping mall. And I'm thinking, well, shopping mall's private property. So if the mall decides they don't want people walking around with fucking guns, especially, you know, some of these punks that hang around at the mall, right? Check it at the door. If you don't like it, don't fucking shop there. And that's what I said. I said, here's the thing I have a problem with. Okay, I could see a crime going down. You're trying to protect yourself. But my kid becomes the shit end of your bad aim.
Right.
That's not going to happen. Now, I could understand, yeah, the crook, he's just going to shoot no matter what. But the fact of the matter is there that many criminals running around in shopping malls firing away? Well, it seems like lately there is. So I don't know really the answer to that.
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, you talk about the guy getting upset because he can't bring a gun into a mall. I had the same thing happen to me this weekend. I'm at Klondike Days.
Couldn't bring your gun into the mall?
No, I'm at Klondike Days, right? And they sell kettle corn.
Yeah.
My daughter likes
good
popcorn.
I love that kettle corn.
So we get a bag of kettle corn.
Yeah.
And we eat half of it, and then we tie the bag off. And then we try to go into the craft area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy's at the door, you can't bring food in. What do you mean I can't bring food in? You sold me the food. I can't bring it. It's in a bag. I'm not going to eat it. You can't bring it in. Write your name on it and put it here. You can't bring it in. So I wrote my name on it, and I threw it in his face. And then I went in.
Did you ask him if faggot school was out?
No, I didn't. But, you know, hey, they had this rule, no food in the auditorium. So I had a choice, either leave my food there or not go in the auditorium.
Right. Well, you know, that's it. That's the
rule.
That's the way it should be. I don't like the rules, but if somebody owns something, they have a right to make their own rules. And if you don't like it, fuck off. Just go somewhere else.
Yeah, go to the shopping mall down the street that you can bring a gun
right
into.
But, you know, I'm all for the Second Amendment. All for it. I just don't know how far it should go. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Well, you know, you get kids' cell phones today, right?
Yeah.
Should we arm them, too? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay, bring your backpack, your cell phone, and your Glock to school.
Are you sure you pack your Glock, honey?
Yeah.
And you know, you forgot your lunch yesterday.
Yeah, you forgot your lunch. Make sure you have your Glock.
Well, if you got your Glock, then you can always get lunch, you know.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, who pays for the teacher's gun? The taxpayers? Or does the teacher get her own gun?
I think that's a matter of personal choice. So it's the teacher's own gun.
Yeah.
Right. All right, John, turning to politics.
Right.
I did bring a W clip in, but before we get to that, Mike Huckabee. This is kind of old news, but Mike Huckabee, the GOP, he's still running.
Yeah.
He was campaigning in Topeka, Kansas. You know what happened when he was campaigning there? Our friend and the friend of the show, Reverend Fred Phelps, showed up.
No.
The homophobic flock from the Westboro Baptist Church showed up. Huckabee has recently equated homosexuality with pedophilia and has suggested that AIDS victims should be quarantined. But apparently that's just isn't enough hatred of the gay for these people. So Fred Phelps, showed up and was pro. They protested Mike Huckabee.
Is there a clip?
No.
Like, the way you ended up, play the clip. Oh, okay, but I don't have one.
And then this next story, more proof, and we'll play our W clip after this one. More proof, and I didn't know where to put this in politics or science news, but it's proof that the W is a chimp. Yeah. Turns out after some study, chimps don't like bartering. Even when they're trading up, this new finding could shed light on the mysterious origins of bartering in humans. The chimps often did not spontaneously barter food items, but needed to be trained to engage in such barter. They prove willing to trade something they did not like.
Wow.
So what do you think about that?
Yeah.
So the W, he's not into bartering at all.
No.
He's like a goddamn chimp.
No. Yeah.
He won't barter.
Not
it's my
all.
Way or the highway.
That's right.
Goddamn chimp. More proof that he's a chimp.
Yeah.
Right on.
Am I supposed to play the clip?
Yeah, you can play the clip. This is a George W. He was somewhere talking about Dick Cheney, and this
is
appalling.
The fact that you invited Vice President Cheney here.
Listen to these idiots clapping. Dopes.
He is the best vice president in history.
Listen to this.
Mother may have a different opinion, but don't tell her I said this, but my opinion is the one that counts.
Who are those a-holes clapping? And that Cheney, the best president in history?
Oh.
What the fuck is he talking about? Is this his comedy routine? Is he trying to work on his comedy material?
He's working on, you know, when he gets out of office.
He's going to do stand-up. The guy thinks he's going to do stand-up. He thinks he can be a comedian. I'm telling you. He's working out his stand-up in the last lame duck months of his presidency.
Fucking chimp.
Goddamn chimp. Chimp!
You know what he did this past week, or what he's doing, is the U.S., you know, the U.S. economy is faltering, Scott.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
A little bit. Family debt is on the rise. Benefits are disappearing. The deficit is skyrocketing. And the mortgage crisis has worsened. Conservatives have attempted to deflect attention from the crisis by blaming the media's negative coverage and insisting the United States is not headed toward a recession, despite what economists are predicting. I have trouble saying pre-indict. The Bush administration's latest move is so simply is so. is to simply hide the data. Oh, shit. Forbes has awarded economicindicators.gov one of the best of the web awards. As Forbes explained, the government site provides an invaluable service to the public for accessing U.S. economic data. It says this site is maintained by the Economics and Statistics Administration and combines data collected by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, like GDP, the gross domestic product, and net imports and exports, and the Census Bureau, like retail sales and durable goods shipments. The site simply links to the relevant department's website. This might not seem like a big deal, but doing it yourself, say trying to find retail sales data on the Census Bureau site, is such an exercise in futility that it will convince you why this portal is necessary. Yet, the Bush administration has decided to shut down this site because of budgetary constraints. It's effective March 1st, Scott. So basically, he doesn't want anybody to know how fucked up he's fucked up the country.
Well, that's because he's concerned about his legacy, Jim.
My legacy. I'm not knowing, and that's the truth.
Yeah, he's such an ass. Wipe. unbelievable to me. And he, I don't know where he was speaking. That clip that we had, that was from somewhere in the last 2 weeks. And he still has an audience that applauds. Who's he talking to? Is that like a bunch of, does he go to a zoo? Is that a group of monkeys?
Come on, Hitler had a freaking audience that applauded.
Even
Americans applauded Hitler back.
Yeah, but Hitler, already talked about the comparison. Hitler was, he was a madman, of course, but he had a gift of gab. He was a good speaker. You know, if you understood German, I mean, he right. could really rally the people around his ideas, right. even though they were fucked up. The W is nothing like that. He can't even get a goddamn sentence out.
That's true. That's true. But, everybody's got their flavor.
I tell you, this guy is the worst in history. It's going to be written.
For instance, you know this Dennis, what's his name?
Kucinich.
No.
Leary.
Dennis, no.
The Menace.
I know, Dennis. You dummy.
Dennis who?
Dennis, the fucking comedian. Not Leary.
Dennis Miller.
Miller. Here's a guy who, for years, you know, you watch this guy, he's always claimed he was a conservative, but he's very liberal about civil liberties, and he's ripping on President Bush, he rips on Clinton, he rips on all the presidents, but here comes George W. Bush, the stupidest fucking president I've ever seen in my life, heard, whatever. I mean, this guy's a fucking idiot, right? And this guy, Dennis Miller, thinks he's the greatest. And Dennis Miller, who seems like a very intellectual, deep-thinking person, you know, to come up with some of the rants that he has. And when I heard his reasoning, so George has a little problems with the English language, you know. That makes him more human. It makes him, what?
More human?
More human. My dog has trouble with the English language. That makes him more human? What
the
are
leader
we saying?
Of the country. Of the you don't want him world. To have a trouble with the language like
no.
us.
No. Right.
That's, you know, this guy is going
to
be
supposed
the worst
to inspire
in history. Here's the thing that's really seals the deal is he came along right when the internet's streaming media and video took off. So there's going to be a goddamn record of every stupid motherfucking thing this guy said, which the list is endless.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on.
On and on,
and
man.
If you're viewing this, do you want to view stupidity?
I'm just waiting for somebody
to... Or do you want to view a coherent sentence that he put together? Nobody cares about the coherent sentences.
No.
Even if they do exist. I don't even know if they do. They're going to view stupidity over and over again. And the guy's the most incompetent, overwhelmed president in the history of the United States.
But like we've talked about this before, this guy squandered the greatest opportunity a president has ever had. And 9/11, as tragic as it was one of the things that could have just totally brought this country together.
The world,
brought
John.
The world together. And he squandered that opportunity. He could have been the greatest president of all time. But he totally fucked it up. Look at Mayor Giuliani. The guy was marked from the day after that happened. Oh, here's the guy that's going to be the next U.S. president. This guy is the mayor of the world, right? He turns out to be the biggest fucking moron, just as stupid as the W. And it's like all of them drank this Kool-Aid, and you're thinking, God, should we have really had them as our leaders at this trying time in our history? I mean, what the fuck? How did we end up with these idiots?
Yeah, and it's from a historical perspective, excellent question there, John. At this time in history, we got to get the goddamn worst president in the world ever, history.
It's unbelievable.
Now you got these, it looks like it's going to be either Hillary or Obama, and it's going to be McCain on the Republican side. I can't imagine a world in which McCain gets elected president.
Yeah, here's a guy that somebody said, if he's elected president, he'll make Cheney look like Gandhi.
Well, this McCain flip-flops in the same goddamn sentence he flip-flops.
Yeah, Straight Talk Express.
And I'm all with the W.
I'm a Straight Talk Express.
When the W first ran against Cheney, he said, look, man, this guy was locked in a... did I say Cheney?
McCain.
He said, hey, this guy was locked in a box for 5 years. We can't trust his mentality. Trust my mentality, who did coke for 20 years.
Yeah, and Mine's more better.
And ran how many? Five corporations. Oil. Who can't make money in oil?
Right.
The W. He runs them into the ground. But no, let's elect this guy. He could even manage a baseball team. He traded Sammy Sosa, for Christ's sake.
He ran Texas into the ground. Now he's running the country into the ground.
Everything this guy touches, he runs into the ground. It's unbelievable. It's
fucked up. But there's a great rant from Olbermann, which we got a link to, because it's 10 minutes long, but it's fucking phenomenal. And it's about the FISA bill and this whole thing going on with this the FISA bill. A little history on it is that Bush wanted to be able to just listen into conversations overseas between terrorists and somebody in the U.S. Well, it turns out that the guy who I think it's AT&T or whatever, one of those companies, the whole Big Brother thing is this guy, the whistleblower Mark Klein from AT&T, he said he alleged secret call centers were where the firm funneled data to the National Security Agency. He noted it was declaration of Bush as the Big Brother. And what they did was instead of taking like certain calls, he said that he set up the wiring to wire all calls into one room to be reviewed by the State Department. So any frickin' call, the NSA can listen to any frickin' call. And, you know, you hear people like, what's the big deal? You know, I had an uncle. He says, yeah, I don't care if he watches me naked, man. Just as long as, you know, I'm not a terrorist, so I got nothing to hide. What the fuck are you saying?
Here's the deal. Here's the point. People are trading information. It's private information. If the government has that information, who knows what they're going to do
with
it? Who
knows? Exactly. Who knows if some of those guys start hearing insider trading information and they tip off their brother who doesn't happen to be a public official, but that brother goes out and spends remortgages his house on the stock market for the certain stock and then splits it with the politician. So when that guy gets out of office, not only does he fucking collect a goddamn pension for life of $250,000, he also is a Brazilianaire because he tipped off his brother because he got some inside information. Or an election could be fixed because, let's say, my uncle, for instance, who hates the Democrats will get this power, and now they can listen in to every Republican call, find out what they're doing, what the call centers are doing as far as the next election's concerned, what areas of towns are going to attack and what kind of subjects they're going to talk about. And they can go in there and they can block all that stuff because they get to listen in. And who's going to stop them?
Or how about
this? Nobody.
You have a conversation about somebody with something that's not illegal today, but maybe next year it's illegal and they come after you for that. Who knows?
I don't know if you can do ex post facto, can you?
Hey, you could start wiretapping. What else are they going to take away from us? Why? Maybe that's the next thing they write in, ex post facto. They got rid of habeas corpus. Why not?
Well, I guess they're doing...
Just send us to Gitmo.
They want an ex post facto law, that's for sure, to clear AT&T and Verizon and all the other ones so that citizens could actually sue those companies for allowing their privacy to be looked into. And this is the thing. Here's Bush. He comes out and he says, yeah, we're not doing that. You know, they didn't do anything. We want this law passed, but nothing happened. And Cheney told everybody, yeah, they've been listening to people. So on the other hand, Bush is a big fucking liar. So Keith Olbermann says, you are a liar, Mr. Bush, and after showing some skill at it, you have ceased to even be a very good liar. He also called the W a fascist, and it's a great freaking rant. We got a link to it.
I think
just
that's
way
insulting other fascists. I think it's an insult to call the W
a good
fascist. Yeah, he's W is so in goddamn incompetent, he doesn't even know what he's doing. That's my take on it. Obermann think there's this motive that fascism is the motive. I don't even think that. I think he's so goddamn dim, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what the word fascism
Scott,
means.
You're glib.
I am glib.
Yeah, I don't, you're probably right.
Goddamn dope.
He probably has no idea.
And it just goes to show you, the guy couldn't run a business. He can't run Texas. He can't even, in his own shop, there's no communication protocol. He's got Cheney going out saying one thing, and he's saying another thing. I mean, the guy is overwhelmingly incompetent. It's unbelievable to me.
And then Olbermann, in his rant, he concluded the whole thing by accusing Bush of being a terrorist himself in his alleged fealty to violating civil liberties under the guise of protecting Americans from terrorist attacks. And the funny thing is he's constantly saying that if you don't pass this bill, somebody's going to die. But he vetoed it himself, which means it didn't. When it came across his desk, it didn't have the protections for the AT&Ts and the Verizons and all these other communication companies from lawsuits. So he vetoed it. So it was right there on his desk. Yeah, we'll let it go through. We're just leaving this part out. We're letting citizens, you know, if they feel like they've been violated or companies have been screwed and they were told in their privacy statement that they sign when they get into a contract and that has been violated, they can sue. Well, why can't they? Bush decided no. He'd rather protect these private companies than the person. The person that fucking elected him and the people that pay the bills that make these companies money.
That's because he can't even understand that goddamn concept.
And this is the problem I have with the personhood, the whole thing about civil liberties. It's supposed to be for the individual. And at some point in our history, we decided that a fucking corporation is a person. And they're more valuable than the actual citizens of the United States themselves. And that's a bunch of fucking shit.
Right on, John. I bet you if we asked the W today to tell us how he got elected, how the process works, he wouldn't
it's
be able to
math, tell. It's fuzzy math, Scott.
That's your fuzzy math.
It's fuzzy math.
It's fuzzy math. Dumbass.
There's no rules. And that's the truth.
So, anyway, that's my soapbox.
Nice.
Now, I thought I heard the doorbell.
Yeah, I heard it a while ago.
Oh, there it is. You know, I say it, and there it happens. What is that?
Suppose I'm going to go get that then.
Could you get it?
Yeah, hold
it. Finally?
Give him his own key.
Not yet. No way.
Hey! I want
to
you.
Hey,
come on.
Oh, man.
All right.
Sit down. Relax.
All right, well, I don't have anything else. Whenever you're ready.
Me either. Is Phil here? Has he got his cans on?
Yes, John. I'm
here. I've got my cans on, and I'm ready to go with
you. You're always sitting on Scott's lap. I mean, in the other room by Scott.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you know, I come every
it's
week.
A comedy
I come to
store,
do the news.
Show.
And the first thing I bet with is some sort of a subpar joke about my sexual preference.
I don't understand why you're offended by that.
I struggle every day with gender identity, John. I don't know if you know that.
I do. I don't understand the
fur
code.
That
I'm always find that finensive.
Yes, okay. I find that very finensive.
All right, I do apologize.
Scott, it's good to see you. Of course, you're always very pleasant, very polite.
I don't mean to finance anybody.
Very professional, unlike your co-host.
I don't mean to finance. Okay? I'm sorry.
Well, thanks, Phil. It's good to see you, too.
Apologize for financing
you.
Well,
I'm ready when you are.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Shut up!
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. Your first story tonight. Judas Priest pleads not guilty to traveling outside U.S. to have sex with a minor. I'm sorry.
What?
That's a Jesuit priest pleads Judas not guilty to traveling outside U.S. to have sex with a minor. A Jesuit priest pleaded not guilty Wednesday to charges he traveled outside.
We've already heard that. Teenage boy.
Reverend Donald McGuire, 77, was present for his arraignment before U.S. Magistrate Judge Arlen Keyes in Dickerson Courthouse. He was first charged in a complaint last fall and was indicted by a federal grand jury last week. McGuire, once a spiritual advisor to Mother Teresa, is charged with traveling with a teen to Austria, Switzerland, and Nicaragua, and with traveling interstate to Minnesota to engage in sex with him. McGuire faces up to 15 years in prison if convicted. Dick Story John.
McGuire?
I'm just wondering if you've seen the video of Stevie Wonder falling off stage at an Obama rally.
Are you serious?
Yes, have you seen that clip of Stevie Wonder?
I have not.
Well, neither is he. Next story, John.
Oh, boy, that's funny.
Schoolboy has burning sensation in his pants that ironically was not caused by the local hottie or his teacher.
Or the naughty.
At the Warner Middle School in Farmington Hills, Michigan this morning, a fire broke out in a young man's pants. According to police, the PSP in the student's pocket overheated and exploded, burning a hole in his pocket and causing minor burns on his legs. A teacher at the school managed to separate the boy from his gaming system, after which a lockdown was instituted at the school to facilitate emergency personnel reaching the injured young man, whose burns were treated on the school grounds before being transported to a local hospital. Police are currently investigating the cause of the PSP's malfunction. In the meantime, you might want to consider moving that puppy from your pocket to a backpack, preferably lined with asbestos. Next story, John. 23-year-old Iranian sentenced to death for drinking alcohol four times. If John were Iranian, he would have been executed a long time ago. Next story, John.
At birth.
It seems that homosexuality can't be beaten or brainwashed out of you unless you're Tom Cruise and you go to the Church of Scientology. The New Life Church said Tuesday that former pastor Ted Haggard has prematurely ended a spiritual restoration process begun when he was fired for sexual misconduct. Haggard was fired from the New Life Church and resigned as president of the National Association of Evangelicals in November 2006 after a former male prostitute alleged they had cash for sex relationship. The man also said he saw Haggard use methamphetamine. Haggard confessed to undisclosed sexual immorality and said he brought meth, but he didn't use it. I'm sorry, he bought meth, but he didn't use it. New Life said in a written statement that the process of restoring Ted Haggard is incomplete, and New Life maintains its original stance that he should not return to vocational ministries as long as he's a homosexual. Next story, John. This is old news, but Huckabee scores first win in West Virginia, presumably with a relative. Next story, John. There's too many cocks in Riverside. Rooster owners in this Southern California city may be about to get their feathers ruffled. Measure A on Tuesday's ballot seeks to muffle incessant cock-a-doodle-dooing and crack down on illegal cock fighting by limiting the number of cocks residents can own in a rural area within city limits. It just goes from about 3 o'clock in the morning to 8 or 9 o'clock at night, said Lee Evan Sheffers, who said his neighbor had up to 200 cocks at one time.
That's a lot of cocks.
There's just a lot of crowing going on. Everyone is more macho than the other one. The current law allows 50 cocks, but the measure would only allow 7 and require the birds to be confined to an acoustical Yes, that's right. Acoustical structure at least 100 feet from a neighbor's from sunrise to sunset. If the measure passes, those with too many cocks would have to trim their flocks. Next story, John. Study finds having sex with your coworkers improves your work performance.
Oh.
A study finds having sex with your coworkers improves your work performance. In related news, no wonder this show keeps getting better and better while my news continues to suffer. Next story, John.
That's funny.
Teacher who gave the coolest assignment ever to 8th grade boys to research porn on the internet has been allowed to return to his job. A teacher who told a class of teenage boys to research pornography online has been allowed to keep teaching. Mark Heiberg won her promotion after Victoria's teacher watchdog dismissed a complaint about the assignment entitled, quote, "It's nudity and pornography, the same thing." Question mark, end quote. Mr. Heiderberg told his class to use the internets to research the topic, then asked them what would constitute suitable viewing for an 8-year-old boy. The Herald Sun has seen the worksheet which Ms. Heiderberg handed out to the Noble Park Secondary College physical education class of year 8 boys. Mr. Heiderberg said he did not intend for the children to download pornographic image and stood by the assignment. "When I said use the internet, I didn't mean look at pictures of porno. It was to get a definition," he told the Herald Sun. "I think it's appropriate that kids know the difference because there's so much out there. Want to get your woman in the mood? Try doing housework."
What?
Oh, I'm sorry, John. I ran into the next story. Next story, John. Oh, Phil, man, pull it together.
Yes, Scott. Sorry about that.
I'm professional, my ass.
Want to get your woman in the mood? Try doing housework. Chore play is the new foreplay for busy women. Next story, John. Chore play.
Chore play.
The new foreplay. "Are you happy to communicate with me, or did you just send me a picture of your junk?" A 21-year-old German man has been convicted of sending a photograph of his penis to an unknown woman via mobile phone. "We all had a bit of a laugh when we saw the thing," said Christopher Kropp, presiding judge at the court of eastern town of Sundershausen. The woman reported the sender to police after receiving a photo attachment of the man's genitals. The court said officers found evidence that he may have sent similar images to other women. The man did not explain his motive but expressed remorse for the photo. Kropp said he was fined 150 euros for distributing disturbing pornographic material. Next story, John. Woman faces jail time for making 700 phone calls to emergency service demanding a man for sex. Should have called Mr. Schmuel and saved a trip to jail. Next story, John. Former child prodigy spent too much time playing violin. Never really learned how to keep his balance. A former child prodigy blessed with chiseled good looks. They called him the David Beckham of the classical violin. Now he is even more likely to be known as the lad with the broken strad. David Garrett, 26, one of the nation's foremost young concert performers, had an accident that every world-class musician must dread. At the end of a concert at the Barbican, he tripped and landed on his violin.
Oh.
The instrument is a 290-year-old Stradivarius, so rare that it would almost impossible to estimate its value. Certainly, there are people who would have gladly paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for it before its glamorous owner did a turn as Mr. Bean. Now, he has a badly damaged violin that will be out of use for at least 8 months and may never sound the same again. He is also facing a $60,000 repair bill. Next story, John.
Oh, man.
A future mother, this is the last story tonight. A future mother of the year candidate starts bar fight after being denied alcohol after last call. A pregnant woman threw a beer bottle, nearly ripping off a bartender's ear, according to police. The bartender, Rick Shields, said the attack happened after she told a woman it was already last call and she shouldn't be drinking because she's pregnant. Shields had to get 2 staples and 28 stitches to reattach her ear at the UPMC Mercy Hospital. Police said they planned to charge the alleged attacker with aggravated assault. And that's the news, John.
Wow.
Thank you, John. Thanks, Scott. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, man.
Certainly has.
Sorry I didn't answer the door.
That's all right. You know, whatever you want to give me, your own
couple
key.
Couple weeks ago.
My own key. Your own key.
Yeah, we're working on that. It's a special key that we have to send out for.
That would be grand.
Takes a while. Might be
all right, then.
5 more years. But
I'm off.
All right. Well,
I have a date. I'm going to go see Rambo.
Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
All right.
All right, then.
Bye-bye now. Take care. Wow.
Wow. All right, John, that wraps it up.
Oh.
Oh.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Oh, what? Is he out there shooting again? He did say
we
he got a new Glock, didn't he?
That. We
what?
Keep forgetting to ask him about that.
That better not be my tires, I swear to God.
Well,
seems like he's...
You have 4 tires.
Shooting down the street or something. It's getting quieter. Maybe he's shooting yours, too.
So that ends episode 120, John.
Yeah, sorry to keep you
in
awake.
The can. What are we going to go out with? Episode 120.
Oh, I forgot to say this quick story. It's real quick.
Real quick story.
Real quick.
Real quick.
It's about a Briton jailed in Dubai.
Dubai.
A father of three who was found with a microscopic speck.
That means you can't see it.
Yeah. Of cannabis stuck to the bottom of one of his shoes has been sentenced to 4 years in a Dubai prison.
Oh, the Middle East is so fucked up. It's unbelievable.
I had to tell this story because this is so fucking stupid. Keith Brown, a council youth development officer, was traveling through the United Arab Emirates on his way back to England when he was stopped as he walked through Dubai's main airport. A search by customs officials uncovered a speck of cannabis weighing just 0.003 grams, so small it would be invisible to the naked eye and weighing less than a grain of sugar on the tread of one of his shoes. Dubai International Airport is a major hub for the Middle East, and thousands of Britons pass through it every year to holiday in the glamorous beach and shopping haven. But many of those tourists and business travelers are likely to be unaware of the strict zero-tolerance drugs policy in the UAE. One man has even been jailed for possession of 3 poppy seeds left over from a bread roll he ate at Heathrow Airport. Painkiller codeine is also banned.
Why the hell would you want to go to Dubai on a vacation?
Have you seen Dubai? They have that indoor skiing.
I'd rather go outdoor skiing, John.
Indoor skiing. They have all these islands, these unbelievable hotels, and they're trying to make it this huge, it's like a gigantic Vegas on steroids.
There's no way it's going to be successful if they're putting guys in jail for having microscopic specks of Mary Jane on their shoes.
I know, it's fucked up, man.
Somebody's got to explain that to these fucking idiots. Maybe you and I should do that.
I think we're started already. All right, we're going to take the show out with Toxic from our practice 2 weeks,
another
3 weeks
one.
Ago.
Did we get through this song? I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we did the best we could.
120. Next week, Stephen Hawking.
That's right.
We'll be here, and we're going to take him. We're going to figure out somewhere to go in the time machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Take him back in the time machine.
No doubt.
No doubt, John.
All right, we're out of here.
Later.
I'm John.
Scott.
Later.
Baby, can't you see? I'm trembling. A girl like you should wear a warning. I can't wait, I need a hand.
getting laid to give you up. I took a sip from the devil's cup, slowly taking over me.
Listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.